Good morning.
Good morning.
Was there a time change last night? We all forgot the 7 o'clock. Where's everyone at? I don't know about you folks. I told you if you had to bring someone to church with you when it gets like this, so there's not to pick up somebody next Sunday. Well, we are glad you're here today. Absolutely. You've come to church, so we're going to have church. Hi, Bonnie. Bonnie's back this weekend. Got her back. Good to see you.
We missed you.
School's out. Okay, back on task here. See how easily distracted I am? Well, welcome. We're glad you're here. Let's start over. I'm Pastor David Branson. If it's the first time with us today, we're glad you're with us, and we are a serious church, so we're glad that I don't think there's too many shenanigans to go on here. But welcome. We're glad you're here today on this Memorial Day weekend. We're remembering those that have lost their lives in defense of our country, and we're remembering them today and those that have passed that have served our country so graciously and so faithfully. And without them, we wouldn't have freedom, would we?
No, we wouldn't.
So today, let's remember our veterans and those that have served us and have gone on to their glory in heaven. So, welcome. Just a few announcements this morning. Our connect cards, you see what they are there in front of you. I'd ask that you sign those and drop them in the offering plate as it comes around this morning. Registering your attendance and the information you would like the office or myself to get, that would be the best way for you to do that. So be sure and do that as well. Next Saturday at 8 o'clock is our Men's United Methodist Men's Breakfast. Kenny, I know you and I are going to be cooking and whoever else wants to come and help, but the cook crew gets here about 6:30. We'll have breakfast at 8 o'clock, so I encourage all the men of our church to come out and join us next Saturday in fellowship hall. We'll have a good time with a fellowship and a good meal together. We are doing our Faith and Family Night at Roger Dean Stadium on June 12th. There's a sign-up sheet in the narthex on the podium back there. I wish you would sign that if you're interested in going. I think we have 3 names on the list at the moment. I have 15 tickets, so be sure to sign up. And we'll carpool and get together for a great day up at Roger Dean Stadium. That's 4 o'clock on June 12th. There's opening gate. The game starts at 5:05, so we'll get gathered up here at the church if anyone needs a ride, and we'll be sure everyone gets up there safely. Our Bible study is continuing. I think they're in about the 3rd week of that. I would encourage you to come out and spend time in study. Just because it's summer, we're still having Bible study, so I would encourage you to come out and join on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock for our summer Bible study. I think it's time we prepare our hearts and minds for worship. How about you? Let's prepare ourselves. Oh, one other announcement. I'm sorry. Matthew Meals. We had Matthew Meals yesterday. We had 17 volunteers come and help prepare and serve the meals, and they served 177 hot meals yesterday. Wow. So thank you very much. Let's now prepare ourselves for worship.
Thank you. We sing your praises with the trees of the forest. We proclaim your might with the roaring of the seas. As we gather this day to worship, please hear our prayers and heed our cries. Please sustain our faith and calm our fears. Bless the earth with righteousness and your peoples with truth, that we may walk blamelessly before you all the days of our lives. We pray in the holy name of Jesus. Amen.
In Psalm 92:1, it says, It is good to praise the Lord and may use it to your name, O Most High. Our first song is, It is Good to Give Thanks Unto the Lord.
Come to me in a revelation saying, I want you to write a letter to the church.
you to write a letter to the church. And I said, what church? Lakeside? He said, no, I want you to write a letter to the whole worldwide Methodist church. Wow. Now he's got my attention. And he says, by the way, turn over and look at the clock. I rolled over and looked at the clock, and it was 3:33. So I said, okay, what's that mean? He said, I want you to go get the Bible and read Jeremiah 33:3 and John 3:33. He's playing these mind games with me at 3:30 in the morning. So I got out of bed, I went and got this Bible, and I opened it up to Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Now as God was speaking to me, he says, I want you to write a letter to the church and tell them they're not praying. They're worried about all the strife and trouble in the church, and I never hear anyone pray about it. So now he's telling us we need to pray. So I went and got my Bible. Now these are just scriptures. I'm not familiar with these particular scriptures or anything. So this is how God works. This is how he works in my life. I hope he shows up at your door sometime and does this to you. Jeremiah 33:3, after he's told me to tell the church that they should pray about what's going on in the life of our churches. Here it is. Call to me and I will answer and reveal to you wondrous secrets that you haven't known. Where'd that come from? 3:33 on the phone, on the clock. Jeremiah 33:3 says you should pray to God. Call out to God. Okay, that might have been a fluke. So he tells me to turn over to John 3:33. Now we know what John 3:16 is. God gave his son for us, right? We know that. That's common. And he said, keep that in mind. Because, read 3:33. Whoever accepts his testimony confirms that God is true. If we accept what God is saying to us in Scripture, and we're going to talk about that today in our message, we know it to be true. So God woke me up at 3:33 and gave me those two scriptures. Now, is that a fluke? So I was sort of like, wow, God, how do you plan that? He's telling us to pray, and he's telling us to believe what we read in the Bible. That's pretty powerful stuff, isn't it? Now, I don't know about you, and I'm good at denying things and saying, oh, that just happened as a fluke. But you know what? That kind of scared me at 3:33 in the morning. So I'm thinking, what kind of letter do you want me to write, God? You want to help me write a letter to the church, to the big worldwide church? And I put your name on it? So God has told me he's got something for me to do. So the point of this is, God has things for us to do. And if he comes and nudges you awake in the middle of the night, you might want to pay attention. And you might want to pray about it. Because now I'm like praying like crazy. I don't care about a letter. But what I do want to do is let the people in the church know we've got to pray about this stuff enough. There's problems in the world, there's problems in the church, and sometimes we forget to pray. I think God that morning was telling me, tell the people they need to start praying. That he's going to tell us things that you want to know more stuff. Most of the time we like to learn and know more things, don't we? God says if we pray, he's going to reveal those things to us. That's not just a message for these two. That's a message for all of us. Did any of that make sense this morning? Did any of that make sense this morning? I don't know about you, but God has a way of coming to me and saying, listen, I got something for you to do. And from about 3:45 to about 5:45, I was trying to tell God how busy I am. Doesn't he see what I have going on? I'm writing papers, man. I'm trying to go to school this summer. I've got a lot of things going on, and you want me to do this? You know what I could hear God saying? Sorry about your luck. I don't really care about all that stuff you got going on. So somehow now I've got to So I'm going to ask for your prayers as well. And I'm going to be in prayer for you. Do you all pray on a regular basis? Or when things are tough and you might need a word from God? That's when we really want to pray. But when we need to pray is every day in our lives, throughout our time, we're awake. Even when we're asleep, God knows us and is watching us. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. Amen? You all going to pray for me so I can write a letter someday? Let's pray right now. Gracious God, thank you for reminding us at 3:30 on Friday morning. But Father, I pray that you would be active in each one of our lives. That when you come and speak to us and give us a specific message, and through this scripture, Lord, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you reveal that to me. But Father, I am grateful that you use me as your vessel. So Father, I pray that you would use each one of us. These two young ladies here, Lord, they have just as much strength and power in their prayer as well. So I pray your blessing upon them today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you, guys. As we go before the Lord in prayer, we've got some needs to be lifted up this morning as well. I pray that you bring your unspoken prayers with you to the cross this morning. But let me lift up these folks, people that are in the hospital right at the moment of rehabilitation. Helen Miller is still in the hospital recovering from hip surgery? Yeah, hip surgery. So just continue to pray for her. Heather Willis as well, spent some time at St. Mary's. Mary Ann Davis is still under the care of Signature for her shoulder replacement. She's doing much better, I've heard, so that's good. Audra Miller as well. Audra's good to see you in church today. She's still having doctor's appointments and just following her course of treatment with her diagnosis of cancer. So you're in our prayers, Audra. Mary Ann Heal as well. She's getting a little better with her back problems, so we're praised for that and continue to pray for her as well. I got a message last night from Sally Chanel. She had Ken Chanel at the ER last night down at Bethesda. He's got an infection again around his pain tube. And he did go home last night with some different antibiotics. So continue to pray for Ken and Sally as well as they deal with his infection. He's lifted up this morning. Rose is lifting up. Rose Johnston. Max's daughter is lifting up a disabled vet, Jesse, who has a heart problem and internal bleeding. And just praying for healing for Jesse as well. Bud Van Winkle is undergoing chemotherapy for cancer of the throat. Darren is lifting him up this morning. Joyce Blankenship is home this morning with the back pain as well. Chuck's daughter as well is waiting, pending back surgery as well. Sherry, Terry, something. So lift Sherry in your prayers. Keep your prayer list and your bulletins with you this week as well. These names will be emailing this prayer list out to you on Monday. So I just ask that you would keep these folks in prayer and that you would continue to heed God's call to lift folks up in prayer. Let's go to prayer together this morning. Bow your heads with me. Awesome and gracious God, we are so blessed to be here this morning. To be able to get out of bed and get in the car and get here just to show our appreciation for the way you have changed our lives. Father, many can't make it this morning. We've lifted them up by name. And those in our heart that have gone unspoken this morning, Lord, I pray that your holy presence would be with them as well. Where they're seeking healing, Father, I pray that you would touch them and to just bring their bodies back into full function. And that, Father, you would be there to give them peace and comfort during these times of trial with their health. Father, many of us are struggling with colds and just congestion this week. Father, I pray for everyone that's feeling under the weather, especially my wife Nancy as well. She's home in bed today, and my mother, Helen. We've all been stricken with this cold. Father, I just pray that you would quickly heal all of us, that we would be able to return to the life that you have called us to in service to you. Father, I pray today for our world, for our church. Father, I pray today that the leadership of the United Methodist Church could come together in unity and come together to just be at the table together, to be able to discuss issues of the day. Father, as we're going to learn today, as Paul spoke to the church in Galatia, Father, these issues have been in the church from the beginning of time, from the beginning the church existed. Father, I pray today that we can come together in unity and that we can build consensus among our congregations, amongst our leadership, the bishops, council, Lord. I pray for their clarity of mind in making decisions that affect the church. Father, I pray that you would continue to guide us as United Methodists and not divided Methodists. Father, we love you. We acknowledge the trouble we have. But as well, as we read in our scripture this morning, Lord, you didn't say there wouldn't be trouble. You just said you were going to give us a way through it. So, Father, I love you. I give you the praise for the answered prayers that we acknowledge this morning, for the miracles that we've seen in our midst, and the miracles that we're praying for to this day. Father, we love you. We give you the glory for sending your Son to die on the cross for you and us. As worthless, as no good scoundrels that we are, Father, you see value in each one of us. So I pray to you today, Lord, that we would feel your love and experience your grace poured out in a new way. So, Father, bless us as a church. Bless us as God's family. Bless us as we come together today to pay you the respect that you deserve. Father, we love you. Be with us today as we pray together. Our Father, to our Father. receive our offering with the love that we intended. Father, multiply it in the kingdom of God. Thank you, Jesus, for letting us return a small portion of the blessings you poured out upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
He gave himself for our sins
so he could deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. To God be the glory forever and always. Amen. Starting in verse 6, the gospel is being challenged in Galatia. I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ to follow another gospel. It's not really another gospel, but certain people are confusing you, and they want to change the gospel of Christ. However, if we ourselves or a heavenly angel should ever preach anything different from what we have preached to you, they should be under a curse. I'm repeating what we've said before. If anyone preaches and something different from what you received, they should be cursed. They should be under a curse. Am I trying to win over human beings or God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I wouldn't be Christ's slave. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that the gospel I preached isn't human in origin. I didn't receive it or learn it from a human. It came through a revelation from Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Awesome God, thank you for this reminder today that the gospel is the gospel. As Paul is pleading with the church in Galatia, so we hear these words this morning directed at us. Father, we love you. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Don't you love how Paul's greeting, blessing them, wishing the best for them? His first line in his letter is, I'm amazed that you're so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ. He gets right to the business of the matter, doesn't he? What is the gospel? Does anyone know? What is the gospel? The good news, you say? Absolutely. You know the Barna group, they do stuff, they do surveys and find out what people know. They recently have done a survey that said only 37% of adults knew what the gospel meant. Now, that's a general overall population, I'm sure. And then they surveyed specifically Christians, those proclaiming to be Christians. What do you think that number came up to? 60%. 60%? How do you know what you know? How do you know what you believe? How do you know the gospel to be the good news of Christ? That's the good news. It's our perspective that salvation is available. Do you sit here this morning assured of your salvation, or do you still have questions? Is everyone assured of your salvation?
Amen.
I would like to say yes, I'm in. I'm all in. And I am. But when God calls at 3:30 in the morning, I'm like, God, what are you doing? You're sleeping so nicely here. Leave me alone. Does God still assure my salvation for questioning him? I like it that Paul is known on a regular basis to cry out to God. The disciples did it. We're in good company. But Paul is amazed that he brought the gospel to the church in Galatia, and so quickly they were turning from it. That doesn't sound like anything that's going on today in the world, does it? That's not happening today. In our prayer group, as we met here this morning, we prayed for issues in our church and in the world. And when we were finished, I said, you know, we pray like these things have never happened before. If we read the Bible, how many of you read the Bible? Anyone here read the Bible? You do it in a daily devotional? Do you just pick up the Bible and dust it off and read it? I got to say, I haven't read the Bible too much at 3:30 in the morning, but you know what? It still rings true at 3:30 in the morning. As bleary-eyed as I was, I was amazed in those two scriptures that I read to you earlier that they are exactly what we need to hear today, isn't it? We said, anyone here a hand wringer? Do we sit around and wring our hands? Oh, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. This is awful. It's never been like this. You see these kids today, look at how they dress. Pants baggy, dragging on the ground. Come on. What's going on in this world today? It's amazing that it's just now starting to happen in the history of the church. God's saying, what have you done, people? I never left you with these problems before now. Why have you all of a sudden come up with these ways to squabble among yourselves? Jesus Christ brought the gospel to us. The disciples preached it. Paul took the word out of the world to the Gentiles. The word is the word, right?
Amen.
If you watch very many religious programming on TV or do any reading or whatever it is you get your information from, there's people today that says the Bible is irrelevant. We're a lot smarter than those morons were. We don't need all that guidance. Let's leave out that part. That's why we're a mess. Amen. Do you know that there are some in the world that says not all of this holds true today? Well, you know what? There's some things in here I don't like. If they're going to start taking out some things, I got a list of things they can take out. But then I've distorted the message. That's what Paul's talking about here. The past 30 years, hasn't there been a proliferation of these new age, these new kinds of thinking towards God? Because it certainly wasn't going on in this letter that Paul's addressing the church in Galatia, is it? He says they're distorting the gospel. Now, wait a minute. This was a long time ago. And we are a lot smarter today. Why do we still have the same problem today? I love to say that if you don't learn from your history, you're doomed to repeat it.
Amen.
We are doomed, people. I'm going to stand here before you today and say we're doomed. We are a lot smarter, but you know what? We still keep making the same mistakes. We keep still arguing over the same issues. You would think some of these issues would be resolved by now if we're so smart. And we've learned how to be together with one another. And we've learned how to accept one another for who we are. You know who I accept? I accept you for who you are. I don't care. As long as you agree with me, we're good. I accept everybody. As long as they agree with me. Do we see that in church today? I'm not talking about the inside because we're all good people. There's some bad people in other churches. You know that? We have the best of the best here. We get along great, don't we? I stand up there every week and almost tell you every week how much I love you guys. I love you. So far, I think most all of you agree with me, so we're in good shape. As long as you agree with me, I love you. But these other churches, they're really messing this up. The gospel is the gospel. We've got to agree on that. When we start saying the gospel has changed, and Paul is speaking about it here, and we're speaking about it today. I had you all praying for our general conference in Portland. We were praying for unity. And someone must have been praying for division. Because division was at the forefront of the conversation. That's not what God wants. God wants us united. That's why I said, God, at 3:30 in the morning, why do you think I can write a letter to convince these people of this? We had a friend. She was a great lady. Still is. We're still friends with them.
But if she caught you in a mess up, she would write you a letter. Those letters hurt. Our whole group of people that we were friends with, we started asking, have you gotten a letter yet from this lady? No, not yet. Well, just wait. Something's going to happen. And she's going to write you a letter. And tell you what a scumbag you are and what a lowlife you are and how you're sitting and how you've fallen, but I sure love you. So I'm afraid God has grudged me to write that kind of letter. I'm not going to do it. If I stand up here, you know I do, preach love. I preach out the gospel of love. Jesus loves you. I love you. You all love one another, right? How come some of you are sitting on this side and won't sit on this side with these people? Some of these people would die if you put them on the other side of the church. You understand? I don't let people die, so I let them sit where they want. But someday I'm going to have a seating chart. When you come in, you're going to get a number. You have to go sit in that chair. That'll probably be one of the last days for this church. Folks, we can't change the gospel. We've got to love one another. We've got to listen to what Paul was saying to the church in that day. Because you know what? It's the same subject matter we're talking about today. A lot of my pastor friends, as we were talking about General Conference, were wondering, what's the Sunday after General Conference going to be like? You know what? Just like the Sunday before General Conference started. We all showed up, we all loved each other, and we all got along, and we all did what God called us to do. Man's authority is not going to shut down the church. Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
It's the people. You know, when I came here, I said, this is not my church. I'm not even a member of this church. That's one of the things that going into ministry, that you find out you don't belong to a church anymore. I belong to some really good churches. I love those churches. And my name is in those books. I wonder if they've erased my name now. I don't know. They should have. This is not my church. It's my responsibility to come here and be your spiritual leader. I hope I'm doing that for you. I hope I've implanted the seed of hope in you, the seed of joy, the seed of love. A couple of weeks ago, I stood up here and said, how can we love others if we don't love ourselves? And then after I thought about that, I'm like, that could have sent the wrong message. That could be self-centeredness. Who left here a couple of weeks ago saying to themselves, see, the pastor said I should think more about myself. I should be more concerned about my own well-being. Did anyone take that message here a couple of weeks ago? Because I'm here to set you straight if you did. That's not what I meant. See, none of you are admitting to anything. Anybody back there? Carl, are you in? You okay? All right. When I said, you've got to love yourself, meaning God is in you. Do you love God? Chuck, do you love God? God is in you. Stop hating yourself, man. I've been telling you for weeks, stop hating yourself. No, he's not. Chuck's my buddy. See, I only pick on people that I know and won't call me later. Or write a letter to me later. Folks, we got to keep the message real. We've got to keep the message out of the gospel. Another one of the things, how many of you remember when I got here, I said, you know what? I'm going to get up here and I'm going to try to put a message together every week. And every week it's going to come from this book. Because why? The pastors do this, you know. But so far, I think I've done pretty good. If we start preaching the gospel of David Branson, you think you're in trouble now. You wait and see how that turns out for all of us. I'm not going to change this word of God. And I'll tell you, and I fall into this. My wife is really trying to give me some backbone. She's not here because she's sick. So I'm going to start talking about her. I got some time. And none of you tell her anything about this. You just... Who said that, honey? How rude. I bet you could write a good letter. I bet you could do nothing. She said, you know what? The gospel is the gospel. I don't think I do it very often, but sometimes I can get up here and say, you know what? There's someone struggling with this today. And if I come on strong with this, they're going to think that I'm cursing them and the fiery damnation. You know, folks, when we're not on the right path, we need to have it brought to our attention.
Amen.
Now, your pastor doesn't necessarily stand up here and point you out, although there are churches that do that. Anyone experience that? The pastor would come to your house and say, listen, you're messing up.
Been there.
And if you don't straighten up, don't show yourself back in this church again. How many of you, and I've had people come and tell me that, and I'm just appalled by that. Has anyone been told, don't come back to this church unless you change your ways? Why are you going to church? So you can maybe change your ways. You're working on it. Anybody been told that? And then the other side of that point, and I know what happens. I'm not going to blanket over everything. But you hear so much today about people who feel hated in the church. Feel that they are hated. Now, I've been a Methodist all my life. I've been to church in Methodist churches in Missouri and Florida, around different places in the country. I have yet to find a church that says, I hate you. And get out of here. Hate is such a big word, and it's thrown around today like churches hate people. There's a thing going around on Facebook that says, if you belong to a church that tells you you have to hate someone, you better find a different church. Amen. If there is hate in your church, you better run. Because they are not living the Apostles' Creed. Was another good point of advice. How do you know a church is biblical? Do they adhere to the Apostles' Creed? Every word in that. If they don't, get out. Because someone is telling you, I've got this figured out for you. You're okay. I'll tell you what to do and we'll be fine. That's dangerous. That's what Paul is talking about here. These false prophets that are in this church spreading this evil are being condemned to damnation. Now, I read in my studies this week on the message, it says that our English translation does not express this strongly enough. Paul is telling them that these people will be damned. And that's not a cuss word. They are going to be damned to hell. And then he goes on to say, these people that believe those folks, they're going to suffer the same fate. To a lesser degree, it says, if it doesn't stand up to this, God says this isn't going to turn out good for you. It's not going to work out for you. Paul was shocked that the people that had just received the gospel were already turning from him. I think it's safe to say our world today is running from the gospel, don't you? It's never happened in history before, right? Except in this church we're talking about today. Today and back in this church today, it's serious business to distort the gospel. It's not meant to be distorted. The message is the message. I haven't spoken enough about my wife yet. Let me see if I can come up with something. You know, a lot of the gospel we hear preached today is it's had this tag put on it, the prosperity gospel. You know, and I probably have fallen into this trap some, I'll admit it. When I say all we have to do is pray, you're going to be blessed. You're just going to be blessed by God. You sort of get the feeling that nothing bad is ever going to happen to you, don't you? That's not what it means at all. What it means is there's trouble in this world. You're going to lose loved ones. You're going to get sick. You're going to get cancer. You're going to have a heart attack. You're going to lose a child. You're going to get a divorce. A lot of these bad things can happen in our world today. What does the gospel tell us? Bad things are going to happen, right? What the gospel tells us is Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, is going to help us through those times. I see it every day. I meet with people every day. Luckily, most of the people I get to meet and be with in times of trouble are believers. I have run across non-believers that say it's hopeless. I say, congratulations. You get the light switch and dirt in your face and it's over. There's no hope in that. The hope of the gospel says there's something better beyond this. We had a little quick discussion about it this morning, didn't we? When I'm going to bring Wendell into the mix, man. We're not ready to die right now, but when the time comes, we're ready. We've been promised good things. We've got to trust and believe it. We've also been promised that we're going to have trouble in this life. The God, Jesus Christ, coming and taking our sin from us. And the Holy Spirit being sent back. Pentecost, we're still in this season of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is going to help me get through these things. The trouble you experience, you know, it's amazing to me because I've walked this road with a lot of people that are in the midst of awful things in their lives. And I flippantly throw it out there because I know what they're thinking. This too shall pass. I've said that to some of you all. This too shall pass. It's going to get better. But you know what? It does get better. That doesn't mean the sorrow and the hurt's not there in your life, but it means you learn to move beyond the pain of the moment. That you allow the Holy Spirit to come and dwell within you. The Holy Spirit is filled with joy. When we allow that to happen, joy comes into our lives. And when we do that, we can get through anything. And then I see these people, I've been here long enough now, that I've seen a lot of you to the other side of this horrible thing that's happened in your life. And you know what? I've had people say, you know, it wasn't as bad as I made it out to be. It wasn't quite that bad. It really turned out pretty good, actually. I'm actually a lot better off now than I was. I wonder why. Folks, we're going to come up against hard times. We're going to have sorrow in our lives. We're going to have loss in our lives. We're going to have things that don't go right for us. That's okay. Now he asks, I must have a fever. It's not okay that we go through these things. It's okay that we come out on the other side stronger, more faithful in our walk with the Lord. It's better than ever. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we have to look forward to. God is walking this journey with us. We've come together. Demon-possessed man. I think we'll have to leave that for another day. Wendell and I come from a long list of demon-possessed people, right, Wendell? You wouldn't believe some of the conversations I get to have around this place with people. It's awesome. Any of you feel demon-possessed this morning?
Not today.
We laugh, but I tell you, some of you are being possessed. Part of our conversation as well. Is only God in this church? No. The devil lives here just as comfortably as God does. We don't leave the devil at the door when we come in here. He's in here with us. He's trying to destroy us. He's trying to plant seeds. These doors and these walls can't keep the devil out of the church. We see it today in a lot of ways. We see it in this church here that Paul is talking to. The devil is there. The devil lives there. Sometimes we can't wrap our minds around that, but folks, there's evil in the world. you know what? God is greater than any of that.
Amen.
If we acknowledge that, the evil is diminished. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for Paul's the lack of a better word, calling down of this church. Father, when we as the church fail to follow the gospel and we try to change it for our own good, we're only led to destruction. So Father, thank you for this message today. Let us live it out in our lives. Let us accept that bad things will happen to us, but good things are around the corner. And your presence in our lives will allow us to move through these times. Father, thank you for this message. In Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, Jesus, I have promised. Take the joy of Jesus Christ with you in your heart. Leave the evil one here.
for he cannot sustain himself within this place. Father, we love you. We give you the praise. Keep us safe and walk with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.